Again, the sermon for this evening is based on the Old Testament reading from the prophet Zephaniah. Compared to the other prophets, Zephaniah had it made. He had it made because he got to work under King Josiah, a good and faithful king, especially when compared to all the evil kings who would inhabit the throne of Israel. Josiah had no patience for false theology. He purged the temple of vessels made for the false gods Baal and Asherah. He broke down the houses of the, quote, male cult prostitutes. Yes, that phrase is in Holy Scripture, 2 Kings 23, verse 7. And that shows us just how far in fidelity to Yahweh Israel had fallen. Josiah removed all the shrines in the cities of Samaria, and he even killed wicked priests, leading Israel astray to worship false gods. Josiah's campaign against this idolatry is noteworthy, and he is one king who goes down in the annals of Israel history as a king who was faithful to his Lord and his God so much that he did not tolerate the unfaithfulness and the unrepentance of the people of God who were sinking further and further into paganism. This was the king Zephaniah had to work under. Not a bad deal. Nonetheless, kingship aside, Zephaniah was anything but blind to his surroundings. Despite Josiah's well-intentioned reforms, the people of Israel continued in their sin, and Zephaniah knew. He knew it was only a matter of time before this people, this kingdom, Judah, would be no more. Judgment is coming. God is coming. Zephaniah spoke these words into the ears of a people no longer concerned about or believing and trusting in the God who had brought them up out of Egypt. Zephaniah tells them about the coming of God even when their backs are turned, and they no longer trust in the promise, the covenant made to them by their one true holy God. Instead, they're having love affairs. Love affairs with false gods, only leading them to their own destruction and demise. Now, today we're jumping in the tail end of Zephaniah. It's not a very long book in Holy Scripture. But I want us to go back a little bit and hear from chapter 1 in Zephaniah. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 14. So this is Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14. And this is what the prophet says here. This will give us a context from which we can work and place chapter 3 in. The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind, so that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. Zephaniah chapter 1, 14 through 18. Now that is a passage that no prosperity preacher wants to touch. And it's a passage that makes even Christians uncomfortable. And it should. Whenever we see a passage like this, expounding upon the terrifying wrath of God poured out on the unbeliever, suddenly our earthly problems aren't quite the big deal that we like to make them. Still upset over how the election turned out. Worried about that fiscal cliff. Worried about the age of retirement. Aggravated over the high price of your internet bill. A little agitated because you have to eat leftovers for the third day in a row every now and then again. If things like these bother you, Christian, you might want to consider reprioritizing your concerns. Why? Because the day of the Lord is drawing near. God is coming, and when he comes, how will he find you? That's a much bigger issue than the menial earthly problems that we so often treat as being the bane of our existence. God is coming to judge the nations. And he is clear, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. That's what Zephaniah says. All the money in the world cannot buy your way out of the judgments of God. Mammon cannot buy your salvation. Gold and silver cannot do that. God gives it freely out of his grace and out of his mercy. And not only do we hear from the prophet Zephaniah that, yes, God is coming, but we also see a passage like this in the book of Romans where St. Paul says to the Romans these words, Romans 14:12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now things are really scary. Now we hear not only is God coming back again, but Scripture also says we'll have to give an account of ourselves to God. What are we going to say? What will your defense be for your record of sins? You better have some good excuses thought up. God is not easily mocked. Or let's just call it out is. God is not mocked. God cannot be fooled. Even a slick talker cannot talk his way out of and weasel his way out of God's convicting, condemning judgments. He sees what you do in the darkness as clear as the light. What shall we say when we stand before our Lord? If I stopped right here in the sermon and this is all we knew about our God, then we might as well just cash in the chips. Call it a loss. God demands too much. My sin is too great. We're toast. Toast before the Almighty God who is that consuming fire. Zephaniah spoke a very strong word to the Israelites, and he did it because he wanted them to turn, to repent, and go back to believing and trusting in their one true holy God. And it is a word that we too, even modern-day Christians, should reflect upon, so as to take a look at ourselves and reflect a little harder on our own sinful condition. But Zephaniah also understood the gospel. The gospel that we heard in chapter 3 of his book. This is how the prophet ends his book, by the way. Chapter 3 is the last chapter. And it's a chapter telling us a message, the message of hope, a message of salvation. This is Zephaniah 3, verse 1. Here we hear, "Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, rejoice and exalt with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem." Now, this is a very different passage than what I read in Zephaniah chapter 1, isn't it? And maybe some of you are thinking, I wish the prophet would make up his mind. But there is no contradiction. And Zephaniah knows what he's doing. For the unrepentant sinner, God's return will be every bit as terrifying as the Lord said it would be. They shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. But for the Christian, for the baptized believer, living in Christ, resting in the strength and salvation of God, it's a different story. For the believer, God's return will be a glorious day, a time when our Lord finally ushers in the new heavens and the new earth for the Christian to live in for eternity with their God. For the believer wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, this will be a glorious day when our Lord returns. God even tells his people living in Christ, straighten up, raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is why we shout. This is why we sing for joy and exalt God with all of our heart, because out of God's grace and out of his mercy, he has declared unto his people, when he comes again, and when you stand before the Son of Man, by his strength, by his grace, by the faith he provides, you will be able to do just that. Stand before him and hear these words. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Sound familiar? That's Matthew 25, verse 34. Shout, sing for joy, Christian. Rejoice, O inhabitants of Zion, your redemption is drawing near. When Zephaniah says to do things like shout and sing for joy and praise our Lord and our God, he is not calling upon the power of positive thinking, and he is not telling you that you have to think happy thoughts 100% of the time. Zephaniah is not giving us here a 12-step program to how to praise God or anything of the sort. Emotions are tricky. Emotions and feelings can sometimes take us in a direction that is not always in our best interest. Just think about that time where you really got angry over something. You're really mad. Now you look back and you realize, it really wasn't that big of a deal. I shouldn't have exploded and gotten mad over that. Or think about a time in your life when you're really stressed, really worried and panicked, tossing and turning, not being able to sleep at night because something's on your mind. And now you look back and you think, God was with me every step of the way. There was no need to feel worried. There was no need to feel despair or depression. There was no need to get angry. Sometimes our emotions take us in directions that we shouldn't go in. Sometimes our feelings can cause us even to sin. Christian, when God says things like shout, when he says things like rejoice and exalt his holy name, what he is doing is calling your attention to a promise that he has made. When God is saying these things to the prophet Zephaniah, what he is saying is that you, believer, you have every reason to shout for joy. You have every reason to thank and praise your God because of this promise and this word of our God right here. This is verse 15. Here our Lord says this through Zephaniah. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. That is good news. You can shout and you can sing because from God's undying grace and his mercy, Christian, he will declare unto you the word innocent. His judgments against you taken away. An unthinkable verdict for a sinner, but the verdict that God proclaims to those who are in Christ. Innocent. I have no judgment against you. The Lord your God, he's in your midst, says Zephaniah, one who will save, one who will treat you as his prized possession, one who will quiet you by his love, a love so great that he now declares unto you his judgments against you are taken away. Instead, they were put on Christ. The judgments meant for you, Christian, because of your sin, have been put on Christ. The very child whose birth we are about to celebrate is the child who will grow to redeem his people from their sins. And it is he, our Lord Jesus Christ, who would also take the punishment and the judgment for our sins so that we can be off the hook. The wrath of God poured out upon sin, taken by Jesus, the ultimate sin bearer, who took all of your sins, all of my sins, and he has paid for them, every one of them, in full at Calvary's cross. The judgments against you have been leveled against Christ. He has taken the wrath and he has done it for you, Christian. This is why we shout. This is why we sing aloud. This is why we exalt the holy name of God. Because of the salvation that he has worked freely for you in the person and work of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now may this peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Amen.